If not, we do have some verses of Scripture upon our heart this morning, and I do ask a sincere interest in your prayers this morning as we try to stand and preach. Our reading lesson will come, and we'll start at the end of the third chapter of the book of Galatians. We'll start with the 26th verse of Galatians, the third chapter of the 26th verse. And the thought that's upon our heart this morning is, I guess, one that's timeless. It's probably been preached many times. It's not one that's been preached much around in my hearing as often as I would probably like for it to. It's one of the things that I love about salvation. I have preached here before and I've told you many times about the benefits of salvation and the benefits of being a member of the Lord's church. But aside from being saved, one of the greatest benefits of being a saved person or having been redeemed by the Lord is to be a part of the family of God. There's a lot of things that I'm happy to be a part of, but I value my place in the family of God, my place in His church. I value that very highly this morning. And if we had a thought, a title this morning, it would be The Family of God. The 26th verse of the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And that would be our reading lesson this morning, and I anticipate that we'll read more as we go along, but our thought this morning is the family of God. And it is wonderful, in my estimation and my thoughts, to be a part of the family of God. And Paul was writing to the churches in Galatia, and he was telling them, and I want to make this plain this morning, that when it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus," he wasn't speaking to lost people at all. We know this morning that ingredients for salvation is, number one, repentance toward God and a faith in Christ Jesus. We know that that is how people get saved. And the only way to be a member of the family of God, and I'll say this morning, that I believe that people can be saved and be a part of the family of God and not be a part of the church. I believe that being a member of the Lord's church does not constitute salvation, nor does it constitute being a member of the family of God. I believe there are two distinct things here that we're placed in. I believe there is a family of God that includes everybody that has ever been saved or ever will be saved. And I also believe there's a membership in the Lord's church. Amen. But it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now we know in today's standards that a family usually consists of a mother and a father, and maybe there's some grandparents, maybe there's some children, aunts and uncles, and we all no doubt have our family members and different people that make up our family. But this morning as I stand before you, I'm a part of something far greater than just the Gregory family from Franklin, Kentucky. I'm a part of something far greater than any of that. Being saved by the grace of God makes me a part of the family of God. Amen. There's something special about being a part of the family of God. There's something great about being a member of the family of God. There is something that makes me royal this morning. And if the Lord will be our help, I'll try to bring that out. But I certainly believe this morning that those that have been saved by God's grace are part of the royal family. That is the King Jesus that sits upon the right hand of the throne
of our Lord and Savior. I believe He's there. I believe He's the King of this world. And I believe this morning that you and I, those that have been saved by the grace of God, I believe the direct lineage of God, of Jesus Christ, runs in us. Maybe not physically.
Oh, but I believe it spiritually. Now, we know this morning that in order to be alive, you have to be born. And I want to take for a moment, if the Lord will help us, and I want to take up a subject that has caused a lot of debate in different times. And I have worried about preaching this morning, because I believe that there's two schools of thought when you think about the adoption of our souls and the adoption that it speaks about in the Bible. But I believe it's taken differently than what we read about here. There's something in the Romans in the 11th chapter about grafting in. And I believe those that were, the Lord always used an olive tree. Oh, when He came to the house of Israel, when He came to the nation of Israel and the Jews and those that were a part of this house of Israel, those that weren't saved or didn't believe in God, the Lord said He would cast them out. He would cut them off of the olive tree. And there's two distinct factions. There's the Jews and there's the Gentiles. The Jews got the gospel first. They heard the gospel first. They were allowed to have this before the Gentiles got it. And you know what? The Jews rejected it. So then it was taken to the Gentiles. And obviously this morning, none of us can be physical Jews, but we can be spiritual Jews by the help of the Lord. And I believe this morning in the grafting in of the Gentiles. I believe those that have been saved by the grace of God, I believe they're grafted in to the house of Israel. I believe that's the adoption that He's talking about. No longer was there this thing where there were Jews and Gentiles, but those that have been saved are made Jews by the Lord's help. When you think about that grafting in, and if the Lord will be our helper, we'll turn over there and try to read a few verses out of it. And it says, "And they also," and this is the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, in the 23rd verse. And it says, "They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again." And I want to make this mention very clear this morning. This is not talking about losing your salvation and getting saved again. He's talking about those Jews that rejected Christ the first time and then were saved later. That they could come back to the Lord. That they could be grafted in again. They'd been cut off for their unbelief, but they could be grafted in again. They could be made part of this house one more time if they would believe in Christ. I told you this morning that the two elements to be saved is being repentance toward God and a faith in Christ Jesus. I also believe there's some belief in there. You've got to believe that God is who He says He is. We know that. And those Jews, they didn't believe who He said He was. They didn't take Him at His word. They didn't take His birth that we might be celebrating in a couple weeks. They didn't take it as the real thing. They didn't take Him as the Messiah. But He says, "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" So I think about the adoption that was spoken of in the Galatian letter. And some people believe that when you are saved, that you're adopted into the family of God. Well, I hold maybe a little bit of a different belief this morning. We read about what Jesus told Nicodemus. Read about what He told him, and He said, "Ye must be born again. You've got to be born of water and of the Spirit." So this morning, I want to make something to say this morning, that I believe those that have been saved are born into the family of God. I believe my bloodline, my spiritual bloodline, is the same exact one that runs through Christ Jesus. You know, I'm fairly certain this morning that those that have been saved by the grace of God could say this, that they are thankful to be a part of that royal family. You know, I've thought about many times when reading over here in the Galatian letter about this adoption, and in this day and time that this would have been written, we weren't talking about actual adoption as we know it today. We've got to realize some of the things that were taking place. We've got to know that when it talks about an heir and a servant, we realize that in this time when children were born, male children, they were allowed a part of their inheritance from the father. When they were born, they were set aside so much the firstborn got up to half, and
of the youngest, he may have got a third of what his father had. And we know that as we are here today, if we were to just analyze this the way that it was, who the Father is. We know who the Father is, and that is Father God. We know He's the one that is the Creator of all things, you and I. We know that He created everything that has been or ever will be. We know that's the way that it is, but we also know this morning that there is one that is with Him, that is a part of Him, and that is Christ Jesus. And we know this morning that He is our big brother. You know, I have family members this morning that I love. I have a sister. I have a sister and I have a brother. And you know, I'm very close to my sister, but not so much my brother. I was never around him much. I grew up after he was out of the house. So, I mean, him never really got a lot of time together. So, he's still my brother and I still love him. But there's not a big connection there. But I've got a brother that far exceeds the one that I have in this world. And I'm not cutting him down this morning because I love him. But I love my big brother Jesus more than I love him. I'll say this morning. I have a wonderful Father that I love very much. But I love my Heavenly Father more than I love him. And I believe that's the way that it's supposed to be. Amen. I believe our Heavenly Father should mean a whole lot to us. When we become a part of the family of God, I want us to realize something. Before we were saved, we were under the law. We were under sin. We're all born into it. Our nature is to be born into sin. We're all sinners. There's not a way for us to get out of it. We're all bound by sin. We were bound by the law. And I want to read these verses again if the Lord will be our helper. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." Now, I want to make mention of this, that the law could not save the way that Christ could. The law never was able to do that. We know that Christ was sent into this world to fulfill the sacrifice that we talked about a few Sundays ago. We know that He was able to do that. We know that He came for that reason. We know that His Heavenly Father is the Father God. And we know His physical mother is Mary, who is over there, and Joseph was her husband. We know that story very well. We know that He was born of a woman, a virgin birth, that is something far exceeding outside of our minds that we cannot comprehend. You know, I'm preaching something this morning that I know is probably something that just, it blows my mind when I begin to think of it. How all of these things happen, but we read over in Romans 11 about the nature of the grafting in of the tree. This is something that only God could do. You know, people today, they're looking at things, and they're looking at things through worldly eyes. They're looking at things through the natural eyes, and they don't see that God is able to do anything that He wants to do anytime, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He sent His Son. And you think about that. His Son was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. And because of that, because of the law being fulfilled through Christ and His death on the cross, we are able to be joint heirs with Christ. We're able to be a part of that inheritance that awaits us in heaven. And you may say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" What does that mean that I'm a joint heir with Christ? I'm able to say this morning that we told you about the brother that got half and the brother that got a third. That might create some jealousy in a lot of families today. If we were handing out money and I said, "I'll give you $100, you $100, and you get $1. That would make some very awful feelings towards your family members. That's the way it was then. But the Bible says that we become joint heirs with Christ. When God saves our soul, He becomes our brother and God becomes our Father. We become a part of the family of God. You know, this family is not just here today. This family is not just located inside this building. This family of God has been through all the ages of time. Thought about Abraham this morning. as we've been studying this week. I thought about my bloodline that runs through Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. You know, they're royalty today. Christ is royalty. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're royalty. And you may ask this morning, how will I know if I'm a part of the family of God? We have very plain instructions here. How do we know? You know, people today, they're always looking for some sign. They're always looking for something to know, to make sure. Well, you may ask yourself, well, am I really part of the family that I've been born into? You can look at me and you can tell who I belong to. There's no question about who my mother is. There's no question. If you look at my granddad, you can see elements of him and me, so you know that my bloodline runs through them. You can see evidently that I belong to them. But if you're looking on the outside today, you wouldn't know that I belong to Christ. You'd have to look on the inside, and I'm so glad that today it's that way. I'm glad that the blood flows on the inside. You know, when God saves our soul, you know, Lord help us, He doesn't change much on the outside. We still look like we look. We don't transform into what Christ looked like with a long beard and long hair. We don't look like that. But we become joint heirs with Christ through His blood that is a part of us. How do we know that? How can we be sure that we're a part of the family of God? It says the Spirit lets us know this. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, if we were to look at what Abba means, or maybe there's a different pronunciation of it that I don't know, but if we were to look at that word and its meaning, it would mean daddy or dad. It's a very intimate word that we might say, you know, most of the time people don't go around calling their person that gave birth to them father. Some people do. Some people out of respect do that. But I believe this morning that those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we'll have a more intimate relationship with the Father that is in heaven. We are able, through His Spirit, to connect with Him on a level that we cannot connect with anybody else in this world. And if you don't understand that, give me just a moment and turn over with me to that Romans in the 8th chapter. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning, about the Spirit. And we've been talking about this a little bit on Wednesday night, about the Spirit and it being within us, and how the Spirit lets us know things. Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 14th verse. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye are not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the Son of God. We've been talking on Wednesday night about the Spirit and how the Spirit leads people. I'm of the belief that God's Spirit leads us to do a lot of things. Sometimes we follow the leadership and sometimes we don't. But I'm very firm on this belief that those that have been saved by the grace of God have a spiritual knowledge of that. The Lord bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When God saves us, He lets us know that. And He doesn't just let us hang there for all of eternity and say, well, I saved you, you know that. You know, we as people, we often question things. And some people at different times in their lives, they have questioned their salvation. They've wondered about, am I really saved? But I want you to know something this morning. That those that have been saved by the grace of God are led by His Spirit. Amen. You know, your father, when you're growing up, sometimes he leads you to do things. He asks you to do things. My father's here this morning. There's been many times he's asked me to do something. And guess what? I haven't done it. And I got to face the repercussions of not doing it. And there's been times that I have done the things that he's asked me to do. And because he's a good father, he does that. And I believe that God leads us. And I believe as his children, we ought to be willing to follow his leadership. I'm thankful that I serve a God that is able to lead me. Because there is no way that I could do this on my own. You know, I think about myself many times, and we read about in the Bible about being on the strong meat or being babes in Christ. Most of the time, I still feel like I am a babe in Christ myself. So I need somebody to help me, somebody to take care of me. I'm glad
I'm a part of the family of God, and I have somebody to take care of me. And you may say, "Preacher, you sound pretty silly saying that this morning." But there's not one of us here this morning that doesn't need the help of the Lord, that doesn't need the leadership of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when God saves us, immediately we are filled with His Spirit. I believe the moment that God saves us, He gives us peace. And I believe that when God saves us, He leads us to do anything and everything that He would do for His will, that His will would be for us to do. I am convinced this morning that there is not one person that has ever been led by the Spirit that is unsaved. I don't believe that God leads unsaved people. I believe He only leads those that have been saved by the grace of God. It says they are sons of God. He wouldn't lead people that have not been saved by His grace. I'm convinced of that. And it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Whereby we cry, Daddy or Father. We cry out to Him. Thought about this also. When I think about my family, I think of a lot of things. Think of some of the bad times we've had. Mostly the good times. I think about many times when I have nobody else to call on. I have my family. I thought about this morning as I was driving down here about growing up. And for most of you all, I am probably pretty young in comparison. And I think about many times how my family provided a sense of security in my life. Knowing that my father or my mother was home when I was little, it made a difference in the way that I was. I wasn't scared, or I knew I wasn't alone. I knew I had somebody to protect me. I knew that somebody cared. But you know, as you get older, and most of us today are out from our parents' home, we're out from under the shelter of our parents and things of that nature, we don't have that burden anymore. We don't have that ability to have their protection anymore. But we're a part of a family that's far greater than our natural family. We're a part of this family of God. When we have no one else to turn to, we have God the Father. But I'm convinced this morning that we don't have just the Father to turn to. We have also our brother Christ. We have Him to lead, guide, and direct us. I thought about these verses as well, and I'm not going to turn there this morning. If the Lord be our helper, I thought about Proverbs. In the 18th chapter, in the 24th verse, it says, and the end of it says, "A friend that sticketh closer than a brother." That's my brother Christ. He's a friend that is there through everything. But I also think outside of just God the Father and God the Son, I think about my family that's here this morning. And not just the ones that are sitting on this side of the church. I think about the family of God and how many times church families have come together. You know, when God saves us, He puts us in a very elite group.
Amen.
We're not alone anymore. We're not just dangling out in the middle of the world, just hoping that somebody will help us. We have a whole group of people that love us. You know, I think about this morning, and people have made fun of Baptists or Missionary Baptists for their use of the term brother and the term sister. Anytime somebody walks up or you go into a Baptist church, you'll hear somebody call somebody brother or sister. You know, we've been made fun of that a lot of times, but I want to say this morning. It's a great honor to call somebody my brother and my sister in Christ. It's a great honor to have brothers and sisters that are part of the family of God. If you've been saved, you have somebody else on your side. The Bible says, provoke one another to love. When you're a part of the family of God, you're supposed to provoke one another in love. It means love those that are around you. Love those that are part of your family. I love my family. I do. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I love the family of God. I love my church family. There's not a one here this morning that I don't consider a part of my church family. There's members and non-members of Mount Calvary. I don't care who you are this morning, but I consider you a part of my church family. Because I do know this. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're part of the family of God. You know, I think about this also. I think about many times how when we're having just a rough time or having a day that's just not going quite like we thought it ought to, sometimes, you know, just hearing from a brother or a sister can make all of the difference in the world. Sometimes just knowing that somebody else is praying for you means all of the difference in the world. But you know what?
I'm so thankful that God allows us to be a part of this family. And it's God that allows us to be a part of the family of God. You know, nobody's getting in that ain't supposed to be there. And you know, in our family, there are my grandparents, Don and Jean Gregory, my Aunt Kim and my mom, Gina. And then there's three grandchildren. And you know, it's pretty much been stuck at that for a long time. None of the grandboys, none of us are married, so there's not been any additions to that in a very long time. But you know, as time progresses, I'm sure there'll be some additions to that family. But I'm going to say this morning, and I'm going to stand on this very firm, that God loves additions to His family. God loves when people get saved. I believe we should love when people get saved. I've thought many times about this dear family. Oh, it's lasted a long, long time. We read about it in the Scriptures. Anytime you read about one of these brothers that go to a different place, or they write one of these books of the Bible, they always started most of the time with brethren. You know, they're greeting each other as a brother. Maybe they've never met before. You know, I've got brothers and sisters that are part of this family of God. You know, I'm thankful for those that are here today at Mount Calvary. I'm thankful for every single one of them by the grace of God that's part of this family. But you know, I've got family members. The far away is Africa. Probably farther away than that. I've got some on the other side of the United States over in a little church called Hauser Missionary Baptist Church. And brother and sister Stotler, they're all the way out there, but they're still a part of this family. You know, and I'm going to make mention of this morning. You know I don't believe in it. You know I don't stand for it. And that's the Universal Church. I don't believe that these churches all are mashed into one, and that's the way that it is. I don't believe that. I believe God sets up His church individually. And I believe it's a beautiful thing to be a part of the Lord's church. Amen. I believe wherever God leads you to be, I believe that's where our membership should be. And I believe it should be valued. I value my church membership and the family that I have here at Mount Calvary so great. I love my family. You've heard me say that. But I love my family that's here at this church. I love my family of God. They are so precious to me. It's a wonderful thought to know that I have extended family all over the world. What a wonderful thought that is. This coming spring will be another year that the Old Union Ministry School gets together. And they have a few days of worship services. And all of my brethren, my preaching brethren that we call them, they come in and sometimes it's almost 200 of us. They gather in for that first service there at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church. And they're from all over the world. As far away as they can be, they come in for that. There's a lot of fellowship that goes on that day. And you know what? I'm convinced that God is happy when that happens. I'm convinced that God wants His family to be together. I want to read a few more verses of Scripture this morning. And then I'm going to try to close. I don't mean to worry your patience this morning. I know that my efforts this morning have, I hope they have been fruitful for someone. But sometimes we just have to preach what God gives us. And when it's time for us to close, we have to close. We can't always preach everything that God gives us. Sometimes I'll study all week and I'll have about 50 places I'd like to go. And by the time I get up here to preach, He gives me one of them. And that's where I get stuck to. That's just how God works a lot of the times. But when God leads, we have to follow. You all have heard about the prodigal son. You all have heard many times. I'm sure it's been preached from this pulpit many, many times since the inception of this church. And I have thought very diligently about this week. I'm not going to read it all to you. The 15th chapter of the book of Luke. It says it's the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And it says in the 11th verse, and it says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent himself into his fields to feed swine. Now, I'll stop my reading for there for just a few moments. We may read some more over in a few moments of time. But I want to try to end with this, if the Lord will be our helper. I thought about the family of God. I thought about this family here this day. You think about this father that had these two sons and how one of them, the younger one, you know, he goes up to his father and he asks for his inheritance. And many times I think about us in living in this world. You know, as we are born, we have a time in our life that we are covered under the Lord. We're covered. We haven't reached the age of accountability. We're not accountable for our sins. Sometimes when people hear that and they say, what does it mean to be accountable? Well, the day and time that you realize right from wrong, the day that God lets you know that you're lost, suddenly you're accountable for your sins. And I liken that to this parable here, and I liken that to this family here. You know, this younger son, he finally reached the age that he could get his inheritance. Boy, he got it and he was gone. That's how a lot of people are in this world. They get to a certain age and suddenly if they've been brought to church all of their life, they're gone. And you don't see them anymore. They take everything they've got, they pack up and they leave. They spend all that they've got. And this father has no idea where his children are. He has no idea where he's gone. He has no idea if he's still alive. He has no idea where he is. But he still has this one son that's at home. He's still working. He's still trying to do the right thing. He's still trying to be there. And that's a lot of times those of us that are here this morning. And I thought about this family. And how one day, this father looks up and he sees the son coming down the road. I can almost just picture the father standing out attending to something and looking up and seeing his son walking down the road or coming down the road. And I can just almost see the father looking and saying, there he is. I've been longing for him so long. I've been looking for him. And here he is. And as he's coming down the road, I can almost just see the father and his tears welling up in his eyes and him just being so happy that here comes another one. Here comes one that has been gone for so long, and here he is ready to come home. You know, some people would look at this and they would say, he spent all his money, he had a hard time, and here he was coming home to try to get more. I believe this son had learned his lesson. I believe this son had been out there doing things that he should have been doing and living a life that was not pleasing to the Lord, and I believe he finally realized it was time to go home. The world's a lot like that. And in this family of God, I want us to never be like this older brother. I want us always to be willing and accepting of people into the family of God. You may say, preacher, what are you talking about? As the brother gets home, this father goes and he gets the calf on the hill, the best one he's got. And it says the brother sees that the calf is gone and hears great music and great dancing from the house. And I can almost see him going up to his father and him saying, you know, I've been here all this time. Been here all this time and I've been working. And the son comes home and he gets the best that you've got. And the son just being upset. I want to read this for you. In the 31st verse, it says, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. When Nicodemus came to the Lord, he had some very enticing questions. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you must be born again. You have got to be born again. We know that today we've got to be born again. We know that when we're saved, we walk in the newness of life. We know that all things are passed away. All things have become new. This son almost coming home was like having one that had died and had risen again. He had almost been born again. In his father's eyes, he'd come home. And sometimes God is standing and he's looking out and he's just wanting the children to come home. I read for you this morning over in Galatians. In the 28th verse of the third chapter that we read this morning, and I'll try to close with this. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a thought that it is this morning to be a part of the family of God. You know, God doesn't see male or female or anything like that. He sees us all as His children. He loves each and every one of us. He loves you. And I don't know that there's one that's lost here. I have no idea where you stand with the Lord. But He loves you too. And He wants you to be a part of this family of God. I'm going to close with this. There's a song that Bill Gaither wrote one time. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It says, you will notice, we say brothers and sisters around here, it's because we're family, and family's so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory with this family so dear. You know, in this family of God, there's going to be some hard times. You know, there's going to be times we're going to disagree. There's going to be times we're going to have heartaches. People are going to pass away. People are going to have hard days, hard lives. But you know what? When we get to rejoice in those victories, they're sweet. I enjoy getting to rejoice. I like it a whole lot more than crying. But you know what? I'm so glad that I have a family that can gather in around us and we can pray for one another. We can love one another. We can fellowship with one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And guess what? Someday, you know, down here, at different times of the year, we'll gather together for the holidays as we might next week. And then, you know, we have to part for a while. We have to leave each other. You know, we have to say goodbye for a little while. Most of the time, I don't get to see my sister very often. Maybe two or three times a year at the most now that she lives in Virginia. And when we have to say goodbye, you know, she's just a telephone call away nowadays, but don't get to be around her anymore. And you know, as we leave here every Sunday after our Sunday night and Wednesday night, I have to leave my church family for a little while. But you know, we get to come back together from time to time. Someday, this family of God is going home to be forever. We'll get to be with one another all the time. I hope you enjoy being around me because you're probably going to get enough of me if you get to go to heaven with me someday after a while. I could be around this church, everybody here at this church, all day, every day. I love my church family here at Mount Calvary. I love every single one of you. There's not one of you here this morning that I don't love from the very bottom of my heart. And someday the family of God will all be together forever. I'm so thankful that someday I'm going to get to be there. I hope and pray that this message has been helpful to someone. I know that it has been scattered, but it's wonderful to be a part of the family of God. Let's have a song. Let's stand together and sing.